everything, you know. I don't fight because there's a lot of dishes. Us ladies, you know, you're not going to get upset, but you're not going to fight about the washing or the dishes or the this or the that. I'm a quality time person. So what do I fight for? I fight because I feel, hey man, you're not making me a priority. I don't see you enough. I don't feel like you're really interested in me. We just talk church and we just talk kids and schedules. So that's the bottom line of the fight. I can now do it in 2 minutes. That took us about 2 hours. But and poor old Richard's trying to figure out, where am I? What am I doing? But it's the same thing. And as I was preparing, and I had a completely different sermon. And as I was preparing, I felt the Holy Spirit say, you remember that fight of Tuesday? Remember the things you were saying to Richard? I'm not making you a priority. You're not spending enough time with me. It's not about the time, it's about the quality. Look at me in the eye, put away the phone. I don't want to talk about the kids or the church. I don't really care. I want to be the priority for half an hour, an hour. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, that's exactly how I feel. And I had to do some serious repenting. Because I realized how many times, because I told him, it's like we're in the same house, but we're not really connected, you know? I'm high maintenance, but I told him before we got married. I said, flowers, jewelry, doesn't do it for me. I want time. So I know I'm high maintenance. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, how many times am I in your house and you just brush past me, walk past me, go to the dishes, go to the kids, sort out everything that needs cleaning. And goodness, we've got cleaning. Because we've got a mud hole behind the healing center, which the kids, it's like a magnet. After school, they're in there, and it's clay ground, so everything's dirty. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, how often am I there in the kitchen, or am I sitting on the couch, and you just brush past? How often don't you make me a priority? So I was sitting last night, and I was struggling. Because I told him, I'm like, Lord, I need a sermon. And I could just see Jesus sitting next to my bed saying, this is more important. Just be with me. But it's not a condemning. It's an inviting to intimacy. You see, I don't fight with Richard because I'm fighting for intimacy. And I think the problem with most marriages go sideways is once you stop fighting for that intimacy. And you see, when Jesus comes and he says, repentance is so beautiful, but us as a church have actually made it into a very negative thing. Because repentance is just an invitation to intimacy with the Lord. That's his heart. That's why he came. He loves us. He wants an intimate relationship with us. And I told Richard, whenever I see I'm at my lowest and the most vulnerable and weak, I go to Zacchaeus. So I'm going to Zacchaeus again this morning. So we're going to read Luke 19. I don't even know, Nita, if you've got it up there. If you've got your Bibles, Luke 19, verse 1. And if you don't, you all know the story about the short little man that climbed in the tree. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. I want you to listen to that. He couldn't because of the crowd. There was a lot of people. So it was the crowd, but then also he was short. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, out of that whole crowd, and he could have said, you up there. But Jesus called him by name. Isn't it amazing? He calls him by name. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, I think God put Zacchaeus' story in the Bible just for me. I can so relate with this guy. Most of you know my story. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. But for those that don't know, I grew up in a house. Always knew I was loved. The most amazing mother and father. I think most of you have actually met my parents. They're just spectacular, amazing. But I was the middle child. My sister was the oldest. She's a bit of a freak. She landed up at the Olympics a couple of times, Commonwealth Games, all of that. She played hockey. She was the Springbok hockey player, and she was captain and all of that. And we grew up in a little farming community. My parents are still farmers in the Free State. So you know how it goes. You go to church on Sunday, or I go to the Kuparasi with my dad, and you get the question, "Are you the hockey player? Is that her? Is that her?" Because it's not, you know, it's not just Art and Renal's daughter. It's Winburg. It's a hockey player. You know, it's a small community. So then you always have to say, "No, I'm not it." "Oh, there's another daughter? Yes, I am the other one." So that was my sister. And then the little one was my brother. So for every farmer, and I think it's maybe for every dad, the boy is the boy. So there was this, I felt a little bit insignificant, not seen, part of the crowd. And then little things like my birthday is on the 21st of December. Oh, goodness. Huh? I've dealt with all of that. But that's when everybody's on holiday. All your friends have gone off, forgotten, because everybody's at the beach. So those kind of things, the enemy really used to lie to me. Not that I'm not loved. I always knew I was loved. But that I'm not significant. That I'm not seen. That I'm just part of the crowd. As I was going through the last 2 weeks, I felt the Lord said, "You know what? We sorted out your insignificance issues and the fact that you don't feel a priority. Because you know what? Most of the times when I fight with riches, it's also out of my insecurity. And even though I've received a whole lot of healing, I need to own up to him and say, you know, I know I need more healing in this area." And we all have that area. That area, that fear, that insecurity. And we project. And I need to own up to that. So I know he's got a double dose. I'm quality and I've got quality time. And I've got a hurt in this area, which, praise the Lord, he's healing. But I need to be honest with what my hurt is. Because that impacts on our relationship. And I felt God saying, he said, "You know what? I've healed you so much. But do you know how you felt when you were part of the crowd? That's exactly how you're treating me now. How I'm feeling." You see, we all have a crowd. And it's different. In my house, I felt the crowd was my brother and sister who maybe, you know, nobody did anything wrong, but I just felt, "Your sister's a mierblommiki. What is that?" You know, I wasn't the prettiest. I wasn't the best at anything at school. You know those kids that are always on the verhoog for the prize uitdeling? That wasn't me. That wasn't me. I felt God saying that the crowds in our lives are trying to keep us away from him. And now the crowd is different. Now the crowd is sports schedules, and the crowd can be ministry. Ministry. Because now how many people were in church? Why is that one not in church? Who's offended? What happened to that one? And that's what we do. But our first ministry is we are priests to the Lord. Not me and Richard, all of us. It says we're all part of the royal priesthood. What did the priests do in the Old Testament? Their job was to go into the holies of holies where nobody sees them. Nobody sees them. And they ministered to Jesus. They ministered to God. That's their first priority, their first job. For us as a royal priesthood, you are first and foremost a priest. This, what happens on a Sunday, this part or this coming together should be 5%. 95% of our intimate times with the Lord should be behind closed doors where nobody sees nothing. Because you see, you wouldn't think there's something wrong with my heart. Because I'm here and I'm worshiping and I'm in front and I'm a pastor's wife. But only me and the Lord knows when I'm not there. And I felt this morning, I felt that there's some of us that, you know, when Jesus comes into, I don't have many notes. Now I'm looking for notes and I see I have nothing left. But when Jesus comes into our houses, like Zacchaeus, when Jesus says, today I want to come into your house, the crowd doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter how short or tall or fat or whatever you think you are, whatever your problem is. It doesn't matter which family you're from. It doesn't matter how many kids you've got or you don't have kids or what job or how much money or where you stay. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Because once you lock eyes with Jesus and the King of the universe says, I want to come to your house today. It doesn't matter what the other people are saying. Everybody's shouting, but he's a sinner. He's a tax collector. He's stolen and he has stolen a lot of money. But it doesn't matter because Jesus is coming to my house. You see, and the beautiful thing of the story, and I've said it before, is Jesus doesn't say, you know what, Zacchaeus, now that we're behind closed doors, let's just talk about all that stealing. You know, I won't do it in front of the crowd, but let's just talk about all of that stuff. Jesus doesn't do it. He comes and he loves. And you see, that's the thing. Once you look into Jesus' eyes, it's not that you're so convicted of your things that you've done wrong and God, I'm so bad. No, it's like, I don't want that anymore because I want closeness. I want intimacy. I want everything removed. Not because that is so bad, but because I want him so much. Does that make sense? You see, in a marriage, and marriage relationship is such a beautiful thing, modeling the intimacy that God wants with us. And so quickly, and I'm not saying it's a tightrope, ne? It's this kind of walking on a tightrope the whole time. Because we do need to get the kids to school. And we do need to work because we do need money for food. And we do need to fix the stuff around the house. And now you can take it further. We do need a healing center because God has spoken. And we need to do all that stuff. We cannot be on honeymoon all the time. But if we don't keep the main thing, and make sure our priorities and our hearts are right, we're going to sit with a whole big house all by ourselves, empty. And it will be spectacular, but there won't be the intimacy. So I feel for us, I told Richard, it's not a fighting message, it's an invitation. The Lord's saying, let's calibrate for where I'm at. So I'm actually more sharing just the journey the Lord has been with me. And last night when I was like, Lord, I need a verse, I need a sermon. And I felt him saying, just share your heart. Just share your journey. So this is maybe not how I normally would do it. But I felt the invitation of the Lord saying, some of us, like me, have just gone off maybe 1 degree. And the Lord is saying this morning, in my grace, I want to recalibrate. I want to make sure in your heart, I am your main thing. Knowing Jesus is everything. Yes, we need healing centers. Yes, we need to do what he's called. And there's a whole bag of seed that needs to be planted. Yes, yes, but more than that, knowing him, he is the prize. He is enough. So I'm going to invite you to just close your eyes. Millery, maybe you can come up. Father, that Jesus is like Zacchaeus. Maybe you realize Jesus has been in your house and he's actually had a meal with you in your house. And you know that intimacy in a meal where there's no TVs on. It's just you and Jesus and you're locking eyes with him. I want to encourage you, just imaginations is a wonderful gift from God. So I want you to imagine your house, your favorite place. Maybe you're like me and you really don't like cooking. So thinking of Jesus in the kitchen and cooking, it's not an intimate place. But maybe you have a place like me in your bedroom. You have a cup of coffee with Jesus. Or maybe you do like cooking, and for you the intimate place is at a dining room setting. Maybe you have a spot in your sunroom or in your living room where the sun is beaming in and you like to have a cup of tea with Jesus. Or maybe you're saying, you know what, this is all too much for me. I just like having a braai. And Jesus is not religious. He's around the braai as well. I want you to imagine Him with you in whatever spot is your favorite. And I want you to look Him in the eye. And you know, maybe you're like me, you've scuttled around, and He's been waiting there, just smiling gently, because love is gentle, love is kind. And He's just saying, I'm just waiting to connect with you. I just want to be with you. Maybe you've actually left the house. And you need to come back. For some of you, you haven't even opened the door to Jesus. You're saying, Jesus has never even been in my house. Then I want to invite you this morning to open the door. Because like with Zacchaeus, when he comes in, he just wants to be with us. He just wants to be with us. He just wants our hearts. He's saying, we'll get to all the stuff and the problems. And anyways, I answered you in worship. You are surrounded. You are protected. Your troubles are taken care of. But right now, all I want is I want to connect with you. If there's anything that maybe you like me in, you have to embrace the beauty of repentance, saying, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I've put so many things unintentionally, but yet it's there above you. And maybe you're like me, saying, Lord, I've felt that tugging in the heart. I've known that you wanted me to sit with you, but I had stuff to do. And I repent. I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry for not slowing down and just having a cup of coffee with you. That there's some of us also that you're so used to talking, and that's not bad because you're gifted with words, but I felt the Lord saying, you know what, a relationship is a two-way conversation. For some of us, we need to talk more because we're not verbalizing what's going on in our hearts. But for others, I felt the Lord saying, I want you to listen to what's on my heart. You know what? A marriage is not much of a marriage if only one party talks all the time. And if I don't get to know Richard's heart. And Jesus is saying, for some of you, I know all your problems. I know all your concerns. I know exactly even before you come in. But how about you ask me what's on my heart? Jesus, we're sorry. We're sorry that we've just come to take, and not come to say, Lord, what is on your heart? what can I do today just to lighten up your day? What can I do to make you happy, to bring you joy? Not because there's anything in it for me. Because God, you are not a slot machine. You are the God of the universe. And it is my privilege to know you intimately and to ask you, what is on your heart today? What are your concerns? What are the things that you think about? Father, I pray, let us not be a church that is just concerned about what we need and what we want. But let us be a church that sits at your feet and look in your eye and say, what is on your heart? Not because you want to go out and do it. You see, I don't want Richard to fix my problems. That's the last thing I want. I don't want a pastor when I share my heart with my husband. I just want him to hear, to listen, to understand. You can keep on encountering the Lord. I've asked the worship band just to end with one song. I want to encourage you not to jump up and start worshiping, but to connect with the Lord and to stay focused on Him. So I come against, Lord, I come in the name of Jesus against any distraction, any thoughts that I need to go get that chicken in the oven because lunch is happening. God, but that we would take just a little bit more time to lock eyes with you and to invite you and to say, come into my house. Come into my house. I'm not going to have an altar call or have you put up hands. I just want to encourage you to lock eyes with Jesus and to be intimate with Him. If you feel you want to worship with, you are welcome. If you feel you just want to sit at His feet, you are welcome to do that as well.